Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. I am Lee Cantor, and I am excited to have a good friend of mine, Mr. Jason Jones, in the studio with me today. How are you doing, Jason?
I'm doing great, Lee. It's good to see you.
Nice seeing you. Today, you're going to share with us what you do at Cressa Partners. Is that right?
That is correct.
Now, first, before we get too far into this, what is Cressa Partners do for its clients?
Sure. Big picture, we're a corporate real estate advisory firm. So we exclusively represent and advocate for the user of office and industrial space.
So the tenants.
The tenants of office and industrial space. And sometimes if it's an owner user, we would advocate for them as well. But what we don't do is advocate and represent professional building and industrial warehouse owners.
Okay, so you're kind of looking out for the consumer.
That's correct. That's a good way of looking at it. Sort of a buyer's broker, maybe the model that you would think of, or a consumer advocate. But our goal is to help these companies manage that portion of their business so that they can concentrate on their own growth and what makes them money.
Now, in this marketplace, I've heard that it's kind of in the favor of the tenant nowadays, right? There's a lot of space available, so then, you know, that supply and demand thing, it seems to work every time.
It all comes back to supply and demand, doesn't it?
Right. So now there's lots of supply and not so much demand.
Lots of supply, unfortunately, reduced demand, and that leads to more competition. And as we know, it's a fundamental economic principle that competition leads to lower prices and better services.
Now, if I'm a tenant somewhere and I'm already in a lease, is it too late for me or is there anything I can do?
Oh, my goodness. There's so much that one can do, particularly in a market like today. You know, people who signed a lease, let's say 4 or 5 years ago, are getting close to the end of a five-year, sort of a normal average lease in Atlanta. That lease was, it's 2011. That lease would have been signed in 2006 or 2007, right at the very peak of the market.
Right. So you're paying too much.
To add fuel to the fire, those leases escalate every year at typically an average of 3% a year.
Right.
So now with the drop-off in pricing because of this increased supply and reduced demand, the prices have gone down significantly, and the gap between what someone is paying and what the market is asking, particularly new tenants moving into the building that they're already in, is significantly lower,
right?
Probably 20 to 30% lower.
Oh, so it's dramatic.
It's pretty dramatic.
Now, is this kind of the lowest you've seen?
You know what? I got in the business in 2002, which was right after the A.com bust, and then, of course, we had 9/11. And things were pretty terrible then, and I'd say it's just as bad from a landlord's perspective. Remember,
right,
we take the tenant's perspective. So
it's good for you. There's opportunity.
It's good for our clients.
It's a lot of opportunity.
It can be good. That's true. But you know what? I want to make a point here. It's very much building and landlord and ownership dependent.
Now, if you're a landlord, what are some of the things, like what's going through your head in this time? Because you have to know this, right? You're playing chess.
That's
correct.
This
isn't checkers, right?
It's a... it's a poker game,
right,
is a good way of looking at it. And as an owner of a building right now, you're looking at it. And again, I said it's very much dependent upon the situation, which is why it's important to have an advocate who understands the industry and the business and the market.
Right, because you know what a person should be paying because you know what other people are paying, right? Because if in my head, I don't know anything and I'm thinking, oh, wow, there's a million empty buildings. I can really squeeze them. And that may not be realistic, right?
Particularly if the building that you're in, as we discussed earlier, we were talking about the ownership of this building and their portfolio, you know, they're 95% occupied across their entire portfolio. And so that's really not a lot of leverage that the tenant can come to,
right,
them. It's not the same. Now, if you look at the market as a whole, we're talking probably 20% vacancy.
Right.
But this is only 5%. So, you know, you can come to them and say, well, geez, it's 20% vacant out there. You should give me a good deal. And they'd say, well, have at it.
Right. We're not 20%. Knock yourself out.
It's not my problem. So it's very important to be able to play that fine line of, and this is what's most important, regardless of where the market is, when you as a business owner have a leasing decision in front of you, there is a process that you should go through to, A, make a wise business decision.
Right.
Because it's not all about just how do I get the lowest rental rate. It's also about, well, am I leasing the right amount of space? Is my space designed properly to support my business goals? And am I even in the right location based on my customers, based on where my employees live, based on where investors are? Am I near the airport? I mean, there's so many factors that go into making a wise business decision and then going through a process of creating a competitive environment so that the ownership of your building needs to give you the best rental rate he possibly can.
Now,
to keep you.
Can we go back a little bit and kind of walk us through what happens like when you first meet a person that's interested in using your service? Like, how much do you have to learn about their business in order to serve them?
I think it's very important. I mean, you know, I was just discussing this morning with a client of mine about his growth and the needs of his company. He's about to make a very big decision that where he's going to either relocate to a different kind of building, a different style that's going to make a real statement about his company and attracting and retaining employees and attracting customers, or staying kind of where he is, playing it a little bit safe and paying a lower rental rate than he would if he actually relocated. So I need to help guide him through the reality check. It's sort of, we act as a sounding board also, a little bit psychologist, sounding board, and then consumer advocate. So it's, I think it's very important to understand what their goals are and then how does real estate align with and support those goals, because it's just, it's a support function. Real estate, it's not the primary reason people are in business, to lease office space or industrial space.
But have you seen examples where moving from one building to another or one location to another has like significantly improved someone's business?
I would say our own, as a matter of fact. Yes, in fact, it's a great story about creating that competitive environment and then making a move that increases the attractiveness of your business to potential employees and also to your customers. We were in a building, a fantastic building, right at the intersection of Main and Main, so to speak, for our city. Georgia 400 and 285. We had excellent access. We could be on a major highway going one of four cardinal directions in 2 minutes, and we're in and out of the office quite a bit. We were coming up for a lease renewal, and we liked our building. I thought for sure that we would wind up working out a deal and staying, but, you know, we're in the market every day.
So you know exactly
and what we know what's going on, what the different opportunities are. And we had a building in a different submarket approach us and say, you know, we're really hungry, and we like you guys. We know your business. We want you down here, and let us put an offer on the table for you, and just consider it. And so what happened was our company started to think a little bit differently about our image, about attracting new employees, about our image to our clients and prospective clients. And the next thing you know, when we looked at the offer that was put on the table in front of us, it was spectacular. I mean, spectacular. And the offer that we had from our existing landlord was okay, but we thought it should have been better. And they weren't changing their position. So then what happened is our heads started to turn in a different direction, and the train left the station.
And once that happens,
our existing owner came back, gave us a deal that he should have given us on day one. And let me tell you, it was significant. A third of our rent was going to be free. In addition to increased tenant improvement allowance to build out the space however we wanted, they increased the commission to ourselves. And, but like I said,
it was
train left the station. And we said, you know what? We are going to pay a little bit more money to make this move, but we think it's going to put our company in a better position to do what it is that we do, and that's what's most important. So that is the kind of environment that we, as consumer advocates, buyer brokers, tenant representatives, whatever you want to call us, create for our clients, and why it's important to understand their business as well.
And also, I think that you kind of mentioned it, is where you're located is part of your branding.
Well, and it's a part of your branding. It makes a statement about your company. And it also is important for, as I said, attracting employees and attracting customers.
So now I would imagine now's a chance for a lot of companies that have some leverage now that they can really kind of move up the ladder a little bit in terms of where they're located if they're they want to.
There is that opportunity. I mean, there's a lot of buildings that were built in the past couple of years. There's no building going on right now, but you know, they came out of the ground, particularly in the Buckhead submarket, and provided some really great opportunities for companies to take a step up and maybe pay the same price they were paying in their Class B building.
Right.
And then, of course, now there's a vacuum that's created in the Class B buildings, and folks can either relocate or stay put, which is, by the way, something that we do quite a bit. I mean, one of the primary parts of our business is helping people stay. Lower your rent and not even pack a box.
Right.
And not many people have an argument with that. And we focus on that quite a bit. It's probably nowadays 70% of our business is helping a company stay put at a lower rental rate.
So just because you're still doing the same research you're doing, but you're just giving them the leverage to stay there at a better price.
Well, again, remember what happened in our situation.
Right.
I mean, the ownership of buildings should know that once the train leaves the station and the heads of that company turn in another direction, it is very hard to bring them back. So let's get down to the bottom line price up front and retain that tenant in the building. And that's my job, is to make sure that I create that sense of doubt.
Right.
In the mind of the owner of the building,
that you're willing to go.
This tenant really may go. And that's very important. You know, as you know, Lee, I was in the Navy for 8 years.
Right.
And flew jets off the aircraft carriers. And so...
So you have nerves of steel.
That's right. it has come in handy, let's put it that way, in negotiating for my companies, my clients. But... there's a great military philosopher from ancient China called Sun Tzu. Many people have heard of him. He wrote The Art of War. And one of the quotes that I really like, and it plays to playing poker and keeping your cards close to your vest and creating some doubt in the mind of your of the person that you're negotiating against, is, he says, "Be extremely subtle, even to the point of formlessness. Be extremely mysterious, even to the point of soundlessness. Thereby, you can be the director of your opponent's fate." And while it's not warfare, what it is that we're doing, there is some wisdom in creating a public agenda and a private agenda, and creating some doubt in the minds of the person you're negotiating against, that we really might pull the trigger on leaving your building.
Right. Now, in your case, if your initial landlord would have just came with that strong offer first, you probably wouldn't even entertain the other person's offer.
That's absolutely correct. We wouldn't even known about it.
Right.
I mean, our minds wouldn't have been there.
Right.
And we would have said, you know what, let's do this deal today.
You would have been wagging your tail,
and we can move on with the business of our business.
Right.
As opposed to focusing on our real estate.
Right. And now you got to move, you got to pack. You know, there's a hassle factor to that.
There is. But like I said, there's some things that trump that hassle factor.
Right.
And it's the opportunity to build your business in a better way, and then it becomes worth it.
Right. So now, is this the bottom? What do you think?
Yes, I do think we're, you know, it's kind of just like the economy. I think we've had a little bit of a double dip. At the beginning of this year, I would have said we're coming out of it. We started to see buildings pull back a little bit on the amount of free rent they were giving, on the construction allowances. They were starting to just ease their rental rates up maybe. And then it started to go back down again, probably in the late spring, early summer. So I think we're gonna bounce along the bottom here for the foreseeable future, frankly.
And then because of that, though, there is opportunity to save some money if you're in a current lease, though, isn't that right?
Particularly if you're in a building that has some vacancy, you know, the ownership of that building wants to create steady rent streams for long periods of time. That's what creates the value of that building. So if you can offer something to them, such as extending your lease, in exchange for that, they're going to consider lowering your rental rate today instead of waiting until the end of your lease, which may be a year, 2 years down the road. So why not take a look at, if you know you want to be there and it's the right place, let's take advantage of those savings today instead of postponing them 12 or 24 months.
Right. So now there's opportunity now.
There is definitely opportunity right now.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn more, do you have a website or anything? Is there information there?
Yeah, there's two ways to find out about us. I mean, one is simply CresaPartners.com, C-R-E-S-A, Partners.com. You can Google Cresa Partners, or you can just Google my name, Jason Jones Atlanta.
Really? And Jason Jones. That's a good one to bubble up on that. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, believe it or not, it comes up, if you do Jason Jones Atlanta, it comes up at the top of the list. And that's the way you know, Lee, that's how we all do research today, is we go online and we, as opposed to remembering a phone number or a website address, we just Google the name.
Sure. Now, you brought somebody with you today, somebody that works with you. Why don't you introduce her?
Absolutely. Paula Fowler is with us today. She, for all intents and purposes, she runs our office.
I heard she herds cats. That's part of her job. Is
that accurate? She herds cats and overgrown children who call themselves adults and professional business people. But yes, Paula Fowler is acts as a sort of a chief operating officer for us. And she is extremely involved. She has a long career, which she can tell you about, in several different businesses. Much of it is in the technology industry. And she's very active with Tech America. And she's going to talk a little bit about how we use our involvement with that organization to help our technology clients.
Even and to better serve your clients in general, right?
That's correct.
Well, welcome to the show, Paula.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So you're here to talk a little bit about Tech America. Why don't you kind of give us the big picture?
Well, Tech America is a national organization comprised of members in the high-tech community. And its real purpose is to lobby and promote technology in the United States. We have a very active chapter here in Atlanta made up of about 40-50 high-tech companies.
Now, is this part of the TAG group? Or is it a subset of that, or is it separate?
A couple of years ago, Tech America merged with TAG for the Atlanta chapter only. So we are under that umbrella, and they offer the organization administrative support and that kind of thing.
So now what's kind of in the day-to-day life of Tech America? What are they doing every day?
Tech America is not like a monthly meeting that you go to. What they do is sponsor roundtables. Like yesterday, I went to the HR roundtable, and although I'm not an HR professional, I try to keep up with those types of, things that are happening, like the Obamacare and like new regulations for 401ks, et cetera. I can go to this meeting once a month or every other month and keep up my HR knowledge. We also, actually, Crescent Partners sponsors a finance roundtable where we bring in accounting professionals to teach a 1.5 credit hour course every other month for our clients. So we bring in controllers and CEOs. All the different Tech America members come. They invite their guests, and we provide for them a little session on whatever's going on in that industry. So Tech America is all about providing C-level contact for high-tech companies in a number of different functional areas.
Now, when you're saying high-tech companies, are these startups? Are they accelerator stage? What size companies
are
they?
It's all across the board. It could be an NCR. It could be a startup company, everything in between. In fact, the reason that I was associated with it in the past is I was with several different startup companies in Atlanta, and we used the services of what was then AEA, American Electronics Association, which became Tech America, to, just like I've said, keep up our skill set. They offered benefits to members that we couldn't get as a small company.
Right. Now, do you pay to be a member, or are you selected to be a member? How does that work?
You pay to be a member.
And then so can any high-tech company be a member, or do you have to be kind of vetted?
Yes, they can.
It's
open to any high-tech company. Here in Atlanta, they would become, it's like a TAG on steroids.
Right.
You're part of TAG, but you also get the benefits of Tech America with these small roundtables.
Now, these roundtables happen how often?
About every other month.
Uh-huh. And then so it'll be a different subject matter that's relevant to just business in general?
Absolutely. Like, for example, our next Tech America Finance Roundtable is in November, and we'll be focusing on cash flow reporting and budgeting, getting ready for the next year. So our controllers and CEOs that come to CFOs that come to this meeting can hone their skill set before they have to get ready for next
for their
year.
Own stuff,
that's right.
Now, so you mentioned finance, you mentioned HR. Are there any other categories of information you
guys
want? Well,
there's one that's just a C-level lunch that takes place, and C-level peers in high-tech companies come together and have lunch, and there's no formal program. They just trade ideas and ask each other questions and just have somebody, a peer-level contact that they can call later on when they run into an issue.
Now, is it a group where, is it really kind of networky and salesy, or is it more educational and helping share information?
It's both. There is some networking aspect to it, but again, it's being able to pick up the phone if you're a CFO and you met another CFO at the roundtable to be able to say, hey, look, I met you last month at the roundtable. Can you help me with XYZ?
And then they're open to it. Anybody that's a member of this is going to be open to helping the other members.
That's exactly right.
Now, as part of Tech America, you guys are doing some big, what is it? Tell me about it.
Well,
this
year's our ninth annual Spirit of Endeavor Awards, and Cressa Partners has been a sponsor of these awards for 5 years now. I'm on the committee in addition to being on the Tech America Advisory Board. So we have this function to promote and give visibility to high-tech companies here in Atlanta. And any size company can nominate themselves for one of several different awards. There's one, Cool Technology, which is they may have an emerging technology that's really neat in the marketplace.
Right.
There's awards for entrepreneurship. There's company and individual awards. So any company can nominate themselves in one or more categories. And then we have an awards banquet on December 9th where these companies will be given some visibility and applauded for their work here in the Atlanta high tech community.
Now, you said this is the ninth annual?
That's correct.
Now, this was always a Tech America event?
In the beginning, it was American Electronics Association.
Right,
it's always been now it's a Tech America event.
Right. Now, how do you define technology companies?
Well, they have to have a product or a service. So they have to have, they can't like be a web designer, for example.
So that doesn't count as a
tech? That doesn't count. They would need to actually create a product that they sell in the marketplace that's high tech.
Uh-huh. And you apply for these categories, and then is it narrowed down to like a half a dozen or so finalists?
That's correct. There will be five finalists and then one winner in each category.
In each category. Mm-hmm. So there's, outstanding leadership, technology entrepreneur, emerging business, technology innovation, and cool technology. Those are the categories.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And then so there will be five finalists in each and then a winner in each.
A winner in each, yes. And they take home a beautiful award, which is a Frable glass art that was designed just for these awards, and you can go in lobbies of high-tech companies here in Atlanta and see that.
I'm sure they're very proud
over the
of
year,
this, sure.
Absolutely.
Now, has there been any success stories of somebody winning one of these awards, getting funding, and like kind of just doing extremely, being successful?
There are, and in fact, last year, Nanolumens was recognized here in Atlanta, Richard Cope, for a technology entrepreneur. If you win here in Atlanta, you can actually go on to the Nationals for Tech America, and Nanolumens also won nationally. So can you imagine the kind of publicity that that's generated for the company?
Right. Now, have you had any stories where maybe they've gotten additional funding or anything like that based on them winning?
There's been some success stories. I can't repeat one, but in the past we've had the winners from the previous year come to the microphone at that year's awards and give their success story. So there's been quite a few over the years.
Wow, that must be so exciting to hear them come back and share that.
You know what's really important, though, Lee, is that some of these companies have a very difficult time in the Atlanta market getting any visibility or any traction at all. And even being nominated for the awards, their name's in the newspaper, they get up on the podium and are given an award, they get their picture taken. It's a real publicity opportunity for high-tech companies that are trying to attract investors and just can't get the traction that they need.
Now, you've been involved in technology in Atlanta for a while. How do you see it handling this economy right now?
Well, I think it's obviously hurt a lot of the companies, but on the other hand, I think that's what fuels America's economy are new technologies. And we have so many here in Atlanta. We have such a great, like a second Silicon Valley, if you will, here, given the educational facilities like Georgia Tech and Emory and Georgia State here in Atlanta and Atlanta Technology Development Center, ATDC, right. GTRI, TAG. We have a lot of opportunities for high-tech companies in Atlanta.
Do you know how many people are involved in TAG? How many companies?
It's thousands.
Thousands, right?
It really is.
Now, and there's, we were talking about this, about clusters. There's technology all through the metro area. It's not just concentrated like downtown or... You see it everywhere, don't you?
Oh, everywhere. In fact, I was yesterday at EMS out in Technology Park. Obviously, there's a lot of high-tech companies in Norcross, Midtown, now even in Buckhead, all
right.
around.
Alpharetta.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're,
it
all
seems
over
like
the place.
They're popping up everywhere. Mm-hmm. Now, are you sensing, is there optimism now, or are people just kind of hunkering down and just trying to survive?
I think there's a little bit of both. One of the other things that we do at Crescent Partners is we help sponsor the Startup Lounge, and Jason is very involved in that group. So mm-hmm. we try to do what we can to help. Startup Lounge allows newbie companies, some of them they don't even have their product on the market yet,
right.
meet up with investors
right.
here in Atlanta. So that's a very important aspect of what we do as well.
And can you talk a little bit about why Cressa decided to be involved in as a sponsor of this award and this group? Like, how does that help you help your clients?
Well, we have quite a few high-tech clients, and mm-hmm. as Jason and you have mentioned, I have a high-tech background. I was
right.
a COO and CEO of several high-tech startups here in Atlanta in the past. And this Tech America gives us an opportunity to invite our clients to these roundtables that I mentioned, and they find that of great value.
Right.
And then once a year for the Tech America Awards, we nominate our clients for
right.
the awards to give them publicity. Jason, in fact, had one that was very appreciative of the opportunity to come to the banquet and be recognized for their very specific software that helps the utility industry,
right.
something you don't hear about
sure.
every day. So some of these are very niche kind of companies that have great technologies that just don't get any publicity. So they really loved it, got their picture on stage, have an award for their lobby, that kind of thing.
So now that helps you in the retaining existing clients and
exactly.
also kind of getting the word out about what you do to potential
right.
clients.
When you're a high-tech company, I was CEO of a high-tech company that started out with 3 people and grew over 3 years to over 30 people.
Right.
So we moved and expanded 3 times.
Sure.
So high-tech companies have a different kind of a need than a very stable law firm, for example.
Right.
So you need professionals to help you determine your needs. And I had a tenant rep back then as a CEO
right.
to help me move and expand during those years.
Right. I would imagine that, you know, you have to be ready for kind of explosive growth. And
right.
that's a different kind of pace than a law firm or an accounting firm.
You don't have a 10-year horizon.
Right.
You're lucky if you have a 3-year horizon.
Exactly.
So
that's great. Now, if somebody wanted to learn more about this, is there any website or anything they can go to learn more about, you know, the nominating themselves or getting involved in
Absolutely.
This?
And like Jason just said, I think if you put in Spirit of Endeavor Awards Atlanta, that will come up. But the specific website for it is off of the TAG website. So it would be www.tagonline.org/SOE-nomination-form.
And then if they were interested in learning more about Tech America, would they go through the TAG
That's
as well?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And then they just, I guess, search for Tech America.
Search for Tech America.
Well, Paula, thank you so much for sharing this information. And Jason?
Absolutely.
You want to give the Cressa website one more time? Because I'm sure from Cressa you can get access to all this.
Sure. It's www.cressapartners.com, and that's C-R-E-S-A.
And then if you're a business and you want to save some money on what you're paying for rent, maybe you should give Cressa a call. What do you think?
I think that would be a wise business decision.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much. This is Lee Cantor wrapping up Atlanta Business Radio for this week.